when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled. What exactly is St. Luke describing here? It helps to know what Pentecoste means in Greek, 50th. Pente is 5, the cardinal number. Pentecoste is 50th, the ordinal number. When the time, when the 50th day was fulfilled, is a better way of translating this to help us understand its literal meaning. When the 50th day was fulfilled, the 50th day since what? The Jewish feast of Passover, which coincides with the Paschal mystery of the death of the Lord Jesus. From the time of Moses, observant Jews kept not only the great feast of Passover, which commemorated their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, but also 50 days after Passover, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. It was this 50th day after Passover which drew to Jerusalem a vast multitude of Jews from all over the Mediterranean world, men and women who, though Jewish, did not speak Hebrew or Aramaic, but spoke the native language of the place in which they lived, in the great diaspora of Jews. So, when the 50th day was fulfilled, when the Jewish feast of Pentecost had come, they were all in one place together. Who is they? Luke does not say explicitly in chapter 2. We have to look backwards into chapter 1 to infer who he's talking about. Much of Catholic piety focuses on the gifts of the Spirit being given to the apostles and Mary, as in our window of Pentecost there. When we pray the rosary, we remember the mystery of the Holy Spirit falling upon the apostles and Mary. But in chapter 1 of Luke, we learn that the circle of disciples was much bigger than that. First, we have the 11, that is, the 12 apostles minus Judas. And chapter 1 ends with the selection of the successor of Judas, Matthias. So now the 12 are complete. The 12 chosen by Christ to recapitulate the 12 tribes of Israel. And with them, Luke tells us, are Mary and a large number of women, unnamed, but we may infer these are the same women who were at the foot of the cross. Salome, Mary, the wife of Clopas, perhaps Mary and Martha from Bethany, a short distance from Jerusalem, plus about 120 of the brethren, that is, of the disciples of Christ who are not among the 12. It has been suggested that this number of 120 is symbolic because when Solomon dedicated the temple, 120 priests labored there in preparation for the coming of the glory cloud, the Shekinah, into the Holy of Holies. Whatever the case, they was a group much bigger than the 12 and Mary, including men and women alike, and they were all together in one place. Again, Luke doesn't say here where that place was, but in chapter 1, he tells us that they were regularly gathering in the upper room. That is the same place where the Lord Jesus celebrated his Last Supper, giving us the gifts of the priesthood and the Eucharist. So, it's 50 days from Passover. They are all there together. And then suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Luke is insisting that this is not in any way a human experience. It is a divine gift. It is a transcendent experience. And so he uses metaphorical language. From the sky came a noise like a strong driving wind. Remember that in Greek, the same word for wind is the word for spirit, pneuma. And this driving wind filled the entire house. Imagine the effect of a microburst during a heavy thunderstorm, and you can get the picture. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, again, like and as. He's attempting to describe a transcendent divine experience in human language, groping for words. Glossa is the Greek word. The fire divides and then comes to rest on each of them. We may infer that it's this group of more than 120 people. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. This is not the gift that Paul refers to in an indirect way, glossolalia, ecstatic utterance, the sound that comes from a heart filled with joy but is uttered not in intelligible words belonging to a specific language with vocabulary and grammar and syntax. Whatever that gift is, that's not what happens here. They are enabled to speak real human languages that they don't know. It's the undoing of the chaos of Babel, which was the first reading from last night's vigil of Pentecost. The human race is separated into many tribes by pride, when men are divided by different languages. And here, symbolically, all the tribes of the earth are gathered into one people to worship the one Lord through one faith, by one baptism, into the one church. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem because of the Jewish feast of weeks, Shavuot, Pentecoste. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd. They hear it and go out to see what's happening. But they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans?" They would have heard the accent. They knew where they were from by the sound of their voices, much as a South Carolinian can identify somebody from Brooklyn, even if we don't understand what he is saying. Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? This is a miraculous gift. And like all the signs of the ministry of the Lord Jesus and the apostles, this sign, the sign of tongues, has gone over into the sacraments. That will be important in a minute. Then Luke gives an account of where these people are from, giving us their geographical and ethnic identities in order to help us grasp that they represent all of humanity in the Mediterranean world. And now here they are in Jerusalem to worship the one true God 50 days from Passover, and they hear the proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Jewish feast of Pentecost was not simply the feast of the spring harvest, the first fruits. It was also, according to an ancient tradition, the celebration of the day on which God gave the law to Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. 50 days after they left Egypt, they received the law. 50 days after they were freed from slavery, they were given the law to prevent them from going back to the habits of slaves, which they had learned in the long centuries of their enslavement. The law, Torah, for Jews, was their protection against disordered self-love, sin. The Decalogue instructed them how to love God and each other in the truth. Pentecost for Christians does the same. We were delivered from slavery to sin and death by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And 50 days later, on the Christian Pentecost, we are given the Spirit to keep us in the life of grace, the life of the new creation, to keep us from returning to the old life of sin and death. And there begins on that day in Jerusalem the ministry of the church to fulfill the Great Commission. What are we to take from this 2 millennia later? This morning I suggest 4 things that every Christian should experience and understand in order to live in the grace of Pentecost. The 4 are faith, fire, food, and fellowship. What happened there that day was an experience for those disciples who were gathered in the upper room. 7 weeks after the death and resurrection of Jesus, they are still there. They believe. Even if they do not completely understand how it is true, they believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Shepherd King who will lead Israel into perfect freedom. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, we read in the letter to the Hebrews, and the evidence of things not seen. The gift of faith is given to us first in baptism, and we must cling to that faith, defend it, protect it, deepen it, so that we are not led astray by paganism, by hedonism, by heresy, so that we know the truth, the liberating truth of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Faith is essential. Faith expressed in fire. They were on fire. That is to say, zeal for the house of God consumed them. The holiness of God and the truth of His word were for them the most important thing. And everything else took its place in their lives around the centrality of their faith. Christians who live as Christians for 1 hour on Sunday morning, if that, are not living the life of faith, and they're certainly not on fire. But faith and fire need to be sustained by food. Remember that the upper room is the supper room. It's there that the Savior promised to give us His body and blood if we will come. Christians who do not come to His supper week after week cannot be nourished. Christians who will not repent of their sins and live the life of the new creation cannot be nourished, even if they come. To be nourished in the upper room, the supper room, to have our faith nourished and the fire stoked, we must be prepared to receive the body and blood of the Savior on His terms, by discerning the truth of His presence in the Eucharist, not bread and wine as our senses tell us, but as He Himself instructed us, most especially in John's Gospel, chapter 6. He is flesh and blood, real food, the medicine of immortality. But faith, fire, and food, essential as they are not sufficient. There must be fellowship. Notice, when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place, together. A Christian who thinks that he can live as a Christian without the church does not know what it means to be a Christian. There is no solitary Christian faith and life. We were not taught to pray by the Savior, "My Father, who art in heaven." To be in Christ is to be in His church, in fellowship with all others who are in His church. No one can say Jesus is Lord, Paul insists, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, that is, into one church. The church which is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The Spirit here is revealed not just as fire, but as life-giving water, living water that wells up, as Christ says, from within us who believe. And this is how we live the grace of Pentecost and become witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth, fulfilling the Great Commission. By receiving these gifts, by living these gifts, by sharing these gifts of faith and fire and food and fellowship, which prepare us to bear witness to the ends of the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord.